Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hi everyone, welcome to the press for today, Monday of the American Express week. I'm Ryan Ballinger, good to have you here with us for our opening line show, first clicks of the week show. Sorry for doing the show late on a Monday. I have plans to play golf today, and then it was kind of thrown into flux because we thought there might be a big long frost delay because it was supposed to be pretty cold, and then it turned out there wasn't much of one at all, so we wound up playing, and then it just kind of threw the whole day off. So, apologies about that, but we do have a Monday show for you. Go over the outright market here for the American Express. We'll touch a little bit on the Abu Dhabi tournament, the first full field event of the year on the DP World Tour. We'll get back to that at the tail end of things, and maybe touch on the LPGA if we have an opportunity. But we've got the American Express this week. This tournament is one that's very difficult to predict. It is also one that's very difficult to handicap from a strokes gained perspective, which that's going to be a flaw in my model this week, and I'm going to openly acknowledge that, of course. And that is because we have three courses. This is a tournament where you have 156-player professional field, and each day for the first 3 days, the professional is paired with an amateur. And that amateur is playing alongside that pro and another pro and their amateur partner for the day. So it's foursomes, went three courses, morning and afternoon waves. And it is very difficult, probably, to deal with that from a couple of different reasons. One, you don't have many pro-ams on the PGA Tour, and the one that they're going to play in a few weeks in Pebble Beach is different. It's a legitimate team competition. This one is not really. You're just kind of there, and you don't really have a partner in that sense. And so it's a little awkward, I think, but also it just doesn't kind of have the same panache to it. So players aren't playing it because they're playing in a pro-am, really. I mean, some may, but that's not the case. So that's one part of it. We do have a three-course rotation like Pebble Beach, but all three courses are relatively easy. The La Quinta Country Club is the place where you're supposed to make the most hay, and once we talk about first-round leader model tomorrow, we're going to wait until we get tee times so that we know who's playing La Quinta, because that's where we're going to focus our first round leader energies, is on plays around those types of players. Otherwise, I think you're kind of doing a fool's errand, because the host course, PGA West, the stadium course, that course is the most difficult, still gettable, and it has become easier to the players over the years, certainly since it's become part of this rotation. And then you've got what, Nicklaus Tournament or whatever, the middle course, which is probably somewhere in between the two. You can still go low on that Nicklaus course, for sure. You can go low on PGA West. But the most likely scenario for a first-round leader is La Quinta. So we have to keep an eye on that for first-round leader. But then at each player, pro, and gets one round on each of those three courses. And so, in my opinion, if you go PGA West first, you may be less likely to win, unless you can keep it in your brain that you're playing a different tournament than everyone else, because the go low rounds are either second or third, depending on how you feel about the Nicklaus course. But you can go low on those. So if you start out at PGA West, you know you're behind the eight ball right away. If you put up a good round on PGA West, maybe you think you are way ahead because you know you're going to get to go super low potentially on those other two courses, and you did the hard work well first. But if you didn't particularly play that course well, and you just kind of got through it, a couple under par, even par, somewhere in that range, you can't freak out entirely because you still have the two low courses. So that's something to monitor. I think this week is a lot about trying to catch some value, trying to catch some longer shots up front, and then try to catch some guys live, especially this week. As a recap of last week, none of my guys got there, obviously. I didn't have Siwoo Kim. I had him as a first-round leader play, did not have him outright. Seriously considered playing him outright and just didn't do it, unfortunately. I moved to Chris Kirk on Saturday when it looked like everything was falling apart just before Will Gordon made his move. Obviously, Will Gordon didn't get there in the end. He did not play well on Sunday. Like I said, going into the week, difficult tournament to predict. This one is equally, if not more, difficult to predict. But we do have a history of players kind of coming from way back out of nowhere, and that's because this golf course in these conditions are perfect. There's not a lot of wind. Everything is in its place. If so long as you keep the ball on the planet, you have a chance, really, on this golf, on any of these three golf courses, with some exceptions on PGA West. So if you're playing just pretty decently, you've got a chance to win. If you get really hot, you can win, and you only have to do it for 4 days. And I think the nature of it being a multi-course tournament, I think kind of helps create less likely winners maybe at other venues. So we're going to go over the board here in a minute, and I'm going to preface all of that by saying I don't think you should look at anyone shorter than 20-1, and I think you should really focus your energy at least 30-1 or better. And I think you can find some players this week that you could really like as deep shots, and they might actually get you there come Sunday. So let's think about that as we're kind of going through the board here, because we'll go over the tournament history as we have on golfnewsnet.com, and we'll go over some of the winners for the past few years, and I think you'll understand where I'm coming from, because all of a sudden you're going to go, who won this thing? But let's start at the top of the board. John Rahm, 13-2, plus 650 to win this tournament. Very similar odds to what we had at Kapalua, where he was 6-1 and eventually got there thanks to Colin Morikawa feeling the footsteps a little bit and giving way to Rahm, who really had nothing to play to lose. So again, past winner here, 6.5-1 is not much value. I managed to pick him up in tournament at 8-1 and got him to the finish line, or you know, rode him to the finish line at Kapalua. I would not necessarily guarantee a similar opportunity, but depending on what the tee times are, courses, where he starts, you may be able to get some of these better players at good prices, because I don't think the market will do a good job of pricing in guys who know they have better courses, or they're flailing on an easy course or something, or they're playing an easy course. So you have to be very cognizant, I think, of the live market this week. Then you have Scottie Scheffler. By the way, this event has one of its best fields, I would say, in decades. Very, very good field. I think, 16 of the world top 50. This tournament does not typically get that. So a lot of these top 50 players, these guys who are playing the designated events, for the most part, a good number of them have decided, hey, I'm going to play this week. I'm going to trade in maybe a way out of another event by playing one of these non-designated events. Or they're just kind of getting their commitments out of the way early by playing it, because you have to play three more on top of the designated events. This would count as one of those too. Scottie Scheffler is 11-1. I've seen him at 10-1, so that's probably not a bad price. Patrick Cantlay, 11-1. Tony Finau, 12-1. Xander Schauffele, 18. Will Zalatoris and Sungjae Im at 20. Sungjae coming off a miscut last week at the Sony. Cameron Young, 22. Tom Kim, 25, miscut last week. Then we start getting to a range where I start getting interested because of this tournament's history. Tom Hoagie, 35, along with Taylor Montgomery, Sam Burns, Brian Harman, and Aaron Wise. Siwoo Kim sits alone at 40, past winner of this tournament just a few years ago. Cam Davis at 50, then in the 55s, Adam Hadwin and Andrew Putnam. Sahith Theegala at 60, along with K.H. Lee, who is a guy I really like this week. Jason Day and J.T. Poston, 65. In the 80 range, you've got Taylor Pendrith, Ricky Fowler, who I saw at 90 other places, maybe even on DraftKings, so there's been some interest there, and I may have pushed some of that with a tweet. Sorry about that. Denny McCarthy, 80-1. Keith Mitchell, Emiliano Grillo, David Lipsky, 90-1. I could actually really get behind David Lipsky this week. He's just the kind of player that would win this type of tournament. Will Gordon at 100, worthwhile to look at, I think. Pricing him even worse than last week. He was 80-1 and was a very viable player for three rounds. Maybe you learned something on a quick turnaround. Not going to bet him, I don't think. But Joel Damon, Harris English, Davis Riley at 100-1. And then we'll go over a couple of the deeper shots later. But let's think about the players who have won this tournament in recent memory. And I think this will underscore to you why I want to look so deep on the board. Last 6 years, I'll throw it in there. Hudson Swafford, second win in this tournament, 2022. Siwoo Kim, 2021, I believe he was 80-1. Andrew Landry, Adam Long, 2018 is the only outlier. John Rahm, and that was really him tracking down Luke List, who should have won that tournament, who was a very long shot. Hudson Swafford, 2017. Then you have a pretty decent couple of years where you had Jason Duffner, Bill Haas won it for the second time, and Patrick Reed won. But then before that, Brian Gay, Mark Wilson, Johnny Vegas, Bill Haas for the first time, Pat Perez, DJ Trahan, Charlie Hoffman, Chad Campbell, who's actually a pretty good player, Justin Leonard. So, I mean, you had a run there really going back to the late 2000s with one noted exception of John Rahm and, I guess, Patrick Reed at the time being world-beating players. Jason Duffner was kind of going on the tail end of his run in 2016, I would say, at least that's my view of it. So, you know, we're not known for getting high-profile champions. Then again, at the same time, we haven't had a field like this in a long time. So while I'm looking for deep shots to start the tournament, you have to acknowledge that having so many top players in this field makes it a realistic possibility one of them is going to win. And I think your opportunity to get them, if you like Zalatoris, Cam Young, Tom Kim on a bounce back. Okay, yeah. Let's wait on tee times until we start thinking about Rahm, Scheffler, Cantlay, Finau, Shoffley. Yeah, I think you got to wait for the tee times because I think you may be able to get them at a better number if they fall behind on one of the easy courses or they drop the stadium course for PGA West. So let's wait a day on that. Get a better idea of that. We'll have that tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, plan accordingly with our picks, acknowledging that we're probably going to make some of these picks in play if we can get a better number just based on guys we might star for that reason. One thing I also want to point out about the history of this tournament, it's pretty consistent in terms of winning score. I don't know where the market is for that right now. Tournament props, I don't see one on DraftKings yet, but the margin of this tournament is typically very low. It's not big. If you look going back to 2013, we've had three playoffs. We've had four wins by a stroke and three wins by two strokes. That's very a playoff or one stroke win is very common here. So if you're interested in that market, plus 250 on one stroke, plus 300 on a playoff, plus 350 on two strokes. Just kind of bank on it. Throw a little money at each and just kind of hope you get there with it. And I just don't see there being a blowout. Just the way this tournament kind of works is that everyone gets bunched together. There's like a handful of guys who have a legitimate chance to win. They all make a run for it. Someone figures out how to win and you go on. Okay. So I would very strongly advise this week looking at one playoff and two. And you could put the same amount of money on each, and you're going to do just fine. Because if you put the same out there, put a $20 bet on plus 250, hey, that ain't bad. We like $50, right? Playoff bet, if that hits, you get 60. Also great. 350. Hey, $70. We like that too. So that's not a bad little wager there. And I'm willing to take all of them. I don't think there's going to be a four or three. There could be. I mean, it's happened before. But I this tournament history tends to be very, very close. So I would kind of stick with that mantra here, expecting everything this week. Holes in one market. Every player is at 80-1 in the field. All of them. Every single one of them. And there is some room there for it. And then we'll get into the first round leader market later, but I would not even attempt to think about first round leader yet. And they haven't even posted it for the entire market yet because we don't know what course these guys are playing yet. So please do not touch this market if you're interested in it until at least Tuesday afternoon when they release the tee times. Okay. Please leave that alone. Save yourself some money. Bet on Cowboys and Bucks tonight. Maybe make some money, and then you can scratch an itch and try to bet something else. But please do not do that here, because the if you look at what the market DraftKings has posted, John Rahm's 28-1. We don't know where he's playing, so you're guessing in the dark about where he's been drawn to. You can go all the way down to Denny McCarthy or Taylor Pendrith. Taylor Pendrith is 500-1. If for some reason you think he's going to draw La Quinta and kick the crap out of a short course, by all means, take it. Taylor Montgomery, 180-1. If you think he's going to wind up playing really well on La Quinta, but you don't know that, you just can't take that chance. Not with any significant money. You want to put like $3-4 on it? $5, $10? All right, great. Get in there. Have a good time. But please do not play serious money. Not any money you can't just afford to lose and flush down the toilet immediately. We will run a model on this tournament. As again, I mentioned, it's going to involve PGA West because they play two rounds there. You don't get the strokes gain data for the others. You can have strokes gain data overall on those courses, and I will try to look back at that and pull that out from the model and see what I can give you for at least first round leader and try to figure it out. But it's going to be hard to match players to what courses they played, so we're probably just going to leave it at the first round leader market. And I will acknowledge the model is probably not going to be perfect this week. I'm probably not even going to include course history on it, except PGA West, and even rate it lower than I typically would. So we'll leave it at that. It tends to produce good results. Don't get me wrong. It's still good results. Long-term, golfers are who they are. And that means even with a little bit of a boost from a course in the model, you're not going to get away from it. You are who you are, and the model is going to prove that out. So I'm okay with that, and I'm still going to run it, and that's all going to be lovely and dandy and all that. But I do have to acknowledge that it's not going to do a good job of telling you a whole lot about the course itself. Same thing for course fits. Because you only play two rounds at PGA West, the hardest of the courses, you're just not going to get as well of a documented course fit as you might otherwise. But if you look at the last week's model, I mean, Siwoo Kim is so erratic. He just doesn't tend to fall in this model very well. Just doesn't. So tend to miss him when he plays well, and that kind of stinks, but I also know that about Siwoo in the model. So sometimes you have to kind of be like, all right, well, yes, he has very high highs, but a lot of lows. So you kind of have to figure out how to rate him. But hey, that happens sometimes. So in terms of first clicks, I'm going to look at Taylor Montgomery at 35. Really like that number for him. I think he can learn something very quickly from what didn't work right at Wiley. I like Tom Hoagie at 35. This is just the kind of tournament that he can do well. I really like S.H. Kim this week. K.H. Lee this week. 60-1. I'd like it because it's a shootout. He wins shootouts. I mean, obviously he loves Craig Ranch, but he tends to play well in these tournaments where you have to go really low, and he obviously has the capability of doing that. He flashed some good golf last week, didn't play well in the final round and got lapped, went from having an outside chance and making some noise to winding up in a tie for 28th place. But he was tied for 7th at the Tournament of Champions. He was okay in the fall. He contended at the CJ Cup. Again, wide open fairways, wide open spaces, little creativity required. So he has flashed some good play, and I'm willing to kind of be interested in him at 60-1 as a longer shot. I'm going to bet Ricky Fowler this week. It's going to probably instantly make me regret it, but I'm going to bet him at 80-1. I think he is on the right track. He has top 6 finishes in 2 of his last 4 starts. The technical side of what he's working on with Butch just looks fantastic. I think he is on the right track. He looks better swinging the golf club than perhaps I have ever seen him swing the golf club. And it's because he's less laid off at the top. If you know what that means, it's a technical term for where your club head is. Relative to the takeaway, basically. it just looks really, really good. And if he can believe in that for four rounds in a tournament where you just kind of have to plot your way around and just make birdies. You have to just play mindless golf and just make birdies and make birdies and make birdies instead of thinking about placing the ball and avoiding certain things. I mean, that just is not the same mantra in this tournament. So I'm going to bet him at 80-1. Again, small stake, but I'm going to bet him. And David Lipsky, I think I'm going to bet too. He's 90-1. T4 last week at the Sony. Withdrew his last event at the RSM. T22 at Houston. T10 at the Worldwide Technology Championship. T40 in Japan at the Zozo. But he had played in Japan the week before he finished T44. And then a couple cuts missed to start the season. So not a bad trend for him. Pretty decent trend line overall. He is the kind of player who can win on a go-low tournament. I think he's got a decent chance out there. And then just trying to think about some guys a little bit deeper than that. Chris Kirk keeps standing out to me. I mean, 110-1. That's really not bad for a guy who played well last week. And he gains a lot of strokes relative to the field. He rates out really well in my model for that reason, week in and week out. And Ben Taylor is going to give you something to think about here at 130-1. Seems to be playing well. Didn't do nearly enough at YLA on Sunday, but again, got himself into that position. And I think you're going to see a lot of people in the kind of golf Twitter betting atmosphere that are going to put at least a couple shekels on Luke List at 180-1, knowing what he has done in this tournament in the past. And I wouldn't fault him one bit for doing it. I tend to not bet him whatsoever, but that is what it is. Just looking at tee times here as I'm wrapping up. I thought this actually would come out tomorrow. They have put it out already. So we're looking at guys to get into La Quinta for first round leader markets that you might be able to expose. And we'll round this out. But Tony Finau, Scotty Scheffler, Taylor Pendrith at La Quinta. Those are some guys you might want to look at. Further down, Taylor Montgomery at La Quinta could be a really good one. Keep scrolling through. That's not really doing anything for me. Cantlay Schauffele are going to be there. That's something I can get behind on La Quinta. They're not necessarily the guys that love to go low, but I could get there with that. Will Gordon, who's a big first-round guy. We love him in the first round based on the model that we've seen and recent results. Got La Quinta. Might be worth a play. And I don't really see anything there that I like. You got Tom Kim, Sahith Theegala at La Quinta. Those are names certainly worth pursuing. You've got Siwoo Kim at La Quinta. I might stick with him in the first-round leader market. If you look at his first round leader number. That might be pretty interesting. That really hasn't manifested itself in the market yet. So we'll see what happens there. But we'll go over this tomorrow as we go over the first round leader model. We'll pour through the whole field. You got John Rahm at La Quinta, by the way. Ricky Fowler at La Quinta could be of interest to me. First round leader bets. So We'll pour through all that tomorrow, give you some idea of that, some notations worth making. We'll go through the first round leader model. We'll go through the overall tournament model, acknowledging some potential flaws there. And we'll get things moving here on another great week. Hope you guys had a good Monday. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It scuffs, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Thank you for calling.
calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.